There is no greater name than the name of Jesus. I don't care what you try to come up with. There's no greater. Muhammad's not greater. Buddha's not greater. Whoever you can think of is not greater than the name of Jesus. There's a reason why people don't want you to say Jesus. You can say any other deity in the world. They don't care. It's the name of Jesus that they don't want heard. And I'm just going to tell you right now, here today, we will proclaim the name of Jesus. Even if we get our own little protester standing outside telling us we're not to say the name of Jesus, we will turn up the volume. We're only about a quarter of the way we can go. If you'd bring me down just a little bit, we're still working with this new setup. But even if that's what happens, even if they come in and they say, be quiet or go to jail, at least we'll be in good company. Amen?
Amen.
At least I hope we're going to be in good company. I'll find out if anybody's running out the back door. You'll never take me alive, copper. That's what I'm going to say. I don't know that person. No. Praise God. But God is good. I'm going to teach today about some things that are kind of going on. I don't, you can ask my wife, I don't typically watch much preaching programs in general, just because I want to hear from God for you. I don't want to jump on and say, hey, you know, Brother so-and-so is teaching this message this week. I'm going to record what he's doing, and I'm going to mimic it. So if you've heard something and you say, I mean, I'm Miss Judy, she always comes and says, so-and-so taught on this week. That's the Holy Spirit. Okay, I just want you to understand that. Today, however, I'd already knew what I was teaching on. I already was making the plans, and I sat down, and she had turned the TV back on while she was folding some laundry, and John Hagee was on. And he was teaching on, and I thought, holy smoke, that's what I'm teaching on today. So it's just for you to know, it's God. It's time that God's people get hold of his word, and we're going to have to hold on to it tight. Amen. Amen. So let's bless the tithe and offering this morning. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for a glorious, glorious day. Lord, any day that we can wake up and we can praise your name is glorious. Father, I thank you and I praise you for each and every person here today. I bless this gift. I bless the giver, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that you bless it back to them. Pressed down, shaken together is according to your word, Father, that you said our barns will not have enough room to receive the blessing in our lives. Father, I thank you and praise you for it. Bless it now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I have nothing else to do, so junior church is dismissed. Well, earlier this week, I took the opportunity of having a dry yard, and when we bought our house, one section of it, we knew right away the foundation needed replaced. And fortunately, it's not a huge section. So, God, in his infinite wisdom, gave me a great week to do this, and moved upon my neighbor to buy a backhoe this year. Which worked out great for me, and I only hit my air conditioner 3 times. Hit the house a couple, but what you can say, the backhoe is probably about as old as I am, and it's got some things that are wore out. One of them, unfortunately, is the brakes. If you've seen my house, it's on a hill, and parts of it are very steep to the point of dropping off, and this week, I went to move the hoe just a little bit, and I pulled the outriggers up, pulled everything back in, and as soon as I turned around, pushed on the brakes, lifted the bucket, I had the brakes to the floor, and the loader is moving towards the hill, and I'm like from here to the corner from going over the hill, and I was able to throw the bucket in the ground, and after my breathing calmed down and my heart rate came to a normal pace, I said, okay, I got to keep this in mind. Go in reverse, because even in reverse, it wanted to roll down the hill. So And I only hit the hickory tree once, and that was with the bucket because that's what stopped me. But I got my hole dug, and my block foundation is almost completed. We just have to take out some supports and put it in. But, you know, I'll teach on something about this later. But God just, you know, I love how you get into something. And for me, anyhow, God begins to show me so much about his word and how I can actually help other people through my experiences to help them understand what God's doing, okay? And I'll talk more about that later at some point. But right now, I want to talk to you about what's going on. Unless you're a hermit and you live with your head in the sand or you just choose not to know what's going on, you need to know what's going on. I ain't saying you get obsessed with what's going on, okay? You can ask my wife. We watch the news, and she records it every morning. We watch it, and if you're paying attention to any big news program, they cycle the news. After you've heard it once, maybe twice, you can turn it off. You don't need to keep hearing the same garbage over and over. And this goes for any program. If they keep rehashing it more than once or twice, you've heard it all. They just want you to keep listening for ratings. I'm telling you to turn it off for your own peace and sanity. Okay? Not that I care that anybody's making any money. For your peace and sanity, you need to turn it off. I remember when we started operations in Iraq, my grandfather was glued to the TV. He would not get away from it. He worried himself because my brothers, at that time, my next younger brother, I was in during Desert Shield, and he came in. And so he just sat there and worried. He had already sat through one. Now he's going through another. And he sat there and worried and worried and worried and worried and worried about it. He wouldn't turn it off and get peace. We need sometimes to just turn things off. But I want you to understand something right now. Nothing that is happening in the world today is anything that Jesus didn't already tell us was going to happen. Everything. And I need you to understand this. There are people that seem to think we can change it. You cannot change it. There are things that are going to happen. I don't care how big you think your faith is, you're not moving that mountain. Okay? There are things that God has said will take place. They are going to happen. Here's your role. Trust him. He's going to go through it with you. If he said it's going to happen and you're going to be here, he's going to take care of you. Don't sweat the details. That's what I think is so stupid. We try to create whole doctrines on details that we don't know. Jesus is coming back on such and such on this army and on this festival on this day at the crack of noon. No, he's not. Even the Messiah doesn't know when he's coming. The Bible says only the Father knows that day and hour. That's why he said, just be ready. That's all we have to do is live ready. I know people today, they are getting in their 70s and they refuse to put any money away. They think they can just keep trucking right along with the same old life that they've lived for the last 70 years. You cannot do that. I'm not even 50 yet, and I realize I can't do everything I did when I was 20. Well, Jesus is going to come back before I get too old. That's what I believe. Well, I hope that's what you believe. I hope for your sake it does. But the truth of the matter is, if you haven't made any plans, oh, well, I got Social Security. They've already upped it on me. I'll be in my 70s before I can collect. So, and I'll be honest with you, I don't think it's going to be there. I cannot rely on that. But nonetheless, in all of it, I have to trust and rely on God. Because as we all know, our money is funny. It's worthless. We think it's worth something. It's no longer backed by gold. It's backed by a promise. by politicians. Think about that when you go to the bank. So we have to trust God for everything. This morning, I want you to open your Bibles to 2 Timothy and chapter 3. I realize today I have to buy some new little marker thingies here. I pulled the end off of my longest one, and some of them don't even stick out beyond the edge of the page anymore. Chapter 3 and verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. The word perilous here, it means the word describes a society that is barren of virtue but abounding with vices. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Vices are anything that hold you, trap you, and keep you from freedom. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud. Now, let me talk about that word proud. Listen, I'm proud to be a Marine. I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to be a Christian. But I'm not full of pride. Huge difference. I will get down and dig in a sewer if I have to. If I have to reach my arm down a toilet, I will do it. Okay? If I have to do something, I will do it. There are people I know, preachers, and this is what bothers me. Preachers will not do what Jesus did. We did a foot washing one time. Our very first, it was leadership. We did a foot washing. I said, Jesus Christ did it, I can do it. Praise God for shoes, for starters, because the disciples' feet would have been filthy. Wear a pair of sandals. Here's what I want you to do if you want to understand this. I want you to get the experience. You get you a pair of sandals, and here in a couple weeks, you go down to the fairgrounds, and you wear nothing but sandals, and I want you to go through the barns. Because you got to remember, they ran sheep through the streets, they ran camels, they ran donkeys and horses. And they didn't have a funny looking guy with a trash can with a broom and a shovel going behind them, putting it in the trash can. That was just a part of life. And when it got packed down, it was packed down. And when it rained, it wasn't mud you were walking in. That's what their feet would have been covered with. So he got down and he did it. Boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Holy smoke, do we not have enough of this going on today? Most of you can remember the cash me outside, if you cash me outside, girl. What are we thinking? We glorified rebellion. Now, here's the problem. We want to say, well, that girl, it's all that girl's fault. It is not that little girl's fault. For her parents not being parents. I'm not his best friend. I'm his father. I gotta be the dad. I gotta be the father. Not his best friend. Now that he's married and on his own, the role shifts a little bit. I understand that. And I still have two at home. I'm their father. I have to be the jerk from time to time. I'm not their buddy. Their buddies will do stuff, get them in trouble, get them hurt, and laugh. Now, I ain't saying we don't laugh when we get hurt. We play, we horseplay. That's what guys do. Okay? But I'm their father. We don't have a child problem today. We have a parenting problem today. People don't want to parent their children. That's the problem today. Quit blaming it on this generation. This generation is only doing what you taught them to do. Each generation has gotten more slack and more slack. And I'll tell you why. It's because we've gotten away from church. We've gotten away from God. Cut and dry. We walked away from God. Now, I throw some of that blame back on the church. The church got away from God. The church no longer taught the truth. The church started teaching things that it wanted to teach. If we would teach the unadulterated truth of the Word of God, there would not be all these factions of churches today. I don't care if you're the first church of Frozen Chosen. We wouldn't have you if you would preach the truth. When we get back to the truth, we will see a body that is strong. And many churches are actually starting to come back to it, whether they're denominational or not. They are getting back to the truth. It's why I did not want to be denominational, because I wanted to preach the truth, not what somebody 200 years ago thought was the truth. 200 years ago, we were more than half the population couldn't read. You could tell them whatever you wanted. But the truth of the matter is, we are responsible now. We have the word. We must study it. We must know that, hey, I got to discipline my children. Or guess what? Somebody else will. I have friends and people that I know who are prison guards. And they will tell you straight up, you either discipline your children or I will. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want anybody else disciplining my child. Now, I'll be honest with you, there is a point when you get out as a young man or young woman where you have to become disciplined. For me, it took Marines. I hope it doesn't take that for everybody. But it took the Marines to do it. And I hope to God it doesn't take a prison guard. Hands down, give me the drill instructor at Parris Island over a prison guard. And I'll tell you why, because the drill instructor knows my life is in his hands and one day his life will be in mine. The prison guard knows your life is in his hands and that's that, baby. So, we have a parenting problem. This will be into parents. Unthankful. Oh my goodness. Can Thanksgiving get any more commercialized? It's not even Thanksgiving. We don't give thanks for what we've got. We are planning Black Friday sales. I'm getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning. No, you need to get up now at midnight and get to the store, because at 3 o'clock, it is already a mile-long line. Seriously, we aren't even out of the day, and we're already planning on going out and spending money we don't have. We become an unthankful generation. Unholy. We're no longer set apart. Unloving. There's the one that bothers me the most. The church and people. People will love if the church loves. Okay? But as a whole, the society doesn't love. We don't love our neighbor. We don't even know who our neighbor is. Every time we've moved, we've tried to get to know the neighbors. I don't want to be your best friend. I want to know you. Fortunately, when we moved out here, we've been able to strike up a friendship with some of our neighbors. There's others. Well, they don't want to be friends. I don't really care. I just want to know who you are. You don't want to be my friend? That's fine. Some of the others do. And it's working out great for both of us. Unforgiving. Most of our problems today in the mental wards would be taken care of if people would forgive. You can sit there and think, well, yeah, I can tell you right now, you probably got some unforgiveness. I look back and I have to make sure that what I'm doing isn't based on unforgiveness. Now, there are situations you need to be in, you got to pull back. You know, when a dog bites you, you don't keep getting down in its face. You're going to get bit again. The dog bit you because it's either untrustworthy or you crossed the line with it. One of two reasons. But if it's an untrustworthy dog, you don't go back. I've told people when I had several clients over the years that I was doing work in their house, their dogs bit me. And I told them. I said, your dog bit me. Oh, ha, 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 ha. What's so funny about that mutt biting me? That hurt. Oh, it was just a love bite. Well, I said, you know what? East Wing's going to bite it back. East Wing is my steel-framed 16 or 24-ounce hammer that I carry. Next time your dog bites me, plan on digging a hole. The dog got put away. Imagine that. But you see, once you get bit by a dog, okay, I never trusted that dog again. I never turned my back on that dog again. Because that's when the dog bit me. The dog would just look at me if we were staring face to face. But as soon as I turned my back, he'd come up behind me and nip me. No, ain't happening. We're done. And by the way, these weren't big vicious dogs. The one was a koi dog, which is half coyote, which already makes it untrustworthy. Kyle back there, he's got a Rottweiler the size of a small horse. Every time I've got, now the dog will put the fear of God in you, and I know why he's got it. But the dog has never once made an aggressive move at me, but yet everybody fears it. My dog's half pit, black lab. A FedEx guy came up the other day and said, he's impressive. And said, exactly. That's what I wanted. But those of you that have met my dog, I won't say this out totally in public. Don't want people to know the truth. He's lab at heart. Slanderers without self-control. Brutal. Are we not living in a brutal society today? Somebody's voicing their opinion. Let me drive a car over them. I didn't get my way. Let me go sit in the middle of a four-lane highway and stop traffic. You know, and I don't claim to be the smartest, but even I know you go play in the road, you're going to get hit. Despisers of good. Holy smoke, folks. People today, they don't want to know what. Listen, the church ultimately is good. But they forget that. Well, this country would be better without religion. It's because of our beliefs there is a country. Why do you think America was founded? No, the pilgrims weren't perfect. No, our founding fathers were not perfect. General Lee was not perfect. But we do not remove the truth. Traitors. All we got to do is look at our president's cabinet right now. How many traitors can the man have? People aren't saying what, they don't stand for what they believe. And I'm sorry, the Republican Party needs a good boot up its rear end. They need to be standing for what they were elected for, what they told the people they were going to do. That is the definition of a traitor. We just look back at the traitors throughout history. We've got to stand for what we said we believe. That's why I voted for you. It was because you said you didn't want partial birth abortion. And you turned around and you passed the very bill that allowed it. Why? Because it gave your wild pigs a little bit of breathing room in Florida or wherever. This is the kind, I don't know that ever happened, but this is the kind of stupidity that is going on today. And by the way, we've become so oversensitive. Don't say the word stupid. I don't want my child to learn. I taught my kids words. I said, you need to understand. That was stupid. That was just pure T stupid. Stupid is when you know not to do it. Ignorant, we use that word a lot. But the truth of the matter is most of us are ignorant. We just don't know. Paul at one point, he didn't, in my Bible, or in this translation, the New King James, didn't say ignorant, but he said, I received mercy because I didn't know that I was blaspheming. He didn't have the revelation of who Christ was. But today, folks, we have the truth. There are still people that in spite of what is being proved, in spite of what is being disproved, Rob and I were talking this morning, and he was saying that Clinton went to Florida and was going to run for governor. And the first thing she said out of her mouth, in my state, there will be no guns. Now, if you know anything about Florida, as Rob pointed out, the perimeter is tourists. The interior, however, is good old boys who like to hunt. They like their guns. She didn't even get out of the starting gate. There were still people that would have voted for her. She's proved to be a liar. And this is not political. I'm talking people. Because I don't like John McCain either. I haven't for a long time. There's a lot of Republicans. I don't like our governor. Time to move on. That's my personal opinion. It won't get you anything or anywhere. I'm letting you know they don't stand for what they said they did. They are traitors. They have a job. That's all they want. I am a firm believer that, first off, if we make Congress liable back to us and they don't get to vote for their own pay raises, they don't get to vote for their health care, they get on Obamacare, we'll see things happen. Oh, by the way, they get taxed like everybody else. We'll see change. But right now, they are traitors. We're seeing that. We're seeing traitors in families. And I'm not talking about because people are doing things wrong. It's because they're setting them up. We got so much garbage going on today. And here's the Apostle Paul talking about it. And by the way, he said the last days. That don't mean that we got 10 days left. Okay, just so you know. Headstrong. Oh my goodness. Now there's a point of being headstrong, right? That's good. Then there's a point that it's just ridiculous. Because you are now set so in your way that you cannot see the truth. And I've been that way. I've been so headstrong about things that I swore up and down I was right. And then took a step back out of my comfort zone there and said, wait a minute. I built a wall of concrete, looked around, and the world's not gray. And I saw the truth. So my being headstrong in something was stupid. Haughty, that's the kind of pride we're talking of that is bad. Haughtiness. So many people, well, I want to be chauffeured around. Oh, you know what? Personally, I like to drive too much. I mean, I think it's a challenge. But there are times anymore, you can ask my wife, she's regretted today that I got over my fear of her driving. And I don't mean to be sexist, but this is going to come out that way. Women drivers. That's the way I was raised. Right, guys? Doesn't mean it's right, exactly. And boy, now I'm going to tell you, I got to state this just for the record. I started getting over it when we would travel home from North Carolina, and I'd already worked that day, and we had a 96, and we're coming home up 77, and I'd get to about West Virginia, and I'm just dragging. I've got to sleep. She'd take over, and I'd, somewhere along the line, it's either hitting me. Hey, what's that sign say? You mean the one with letters this big? Yeah. I'm like, first off, you should have woke me up about 2 miles back so I could wake up. But then she told me about this little sick fantasy she had about driving a car in a big bubble suit without taking the cruise control off with all those semis and just bouncing off of them or whatever took place, whatever happened. I was like, you know, I think you need to pull over now. I'm wide awake. I can promise you I can drive the next 8 hours with no problem. But I've gotten over that. That's exactly what she... Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. We've turned church... Listen, there's nothing wrong with a play. There's nothing wrong with great praise and worship. It shouldn't be a production. There's churches today, the only reason people go is because they got lights, smoke, and effects. Your church is now a production. welcome to Hollywood. I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm just saying I like the electric guitars. I like keyboards. I like drums. I like rock and roll. That's my style of music. Some of it I like would probably scare the bejeebers out of many of you. But the point being, we become more concerned about being entertained in church than the truth being preached. Because I promise you today, if I were to say a third of what I just told you in any other church, it would probably be empty. People would get upset. They'd get upset, first off, because I'm not wearing a suit and tie. I'm wearing blue jeans. That's one. They got hold of a religious mantra that said, well, preacher, you got to come to church in this. Jesus said, come as you are. Do you seriously think people traveled for miles and miles and miles in the very best clothes they ever owned? And I like to be comfortable. When I'm comfortable, I can really go. But if I got to walk around, you know, listen, man, Marine dress blues, the most, this is self-opinionated, because I got a pair. The best military uniform ever made in the history of the world. There. I firmly believe that. The best looking one. However, it is the most uncomfortable thing you ever wanted to strap on. And literally, you strap it on. The jackets are made so tight, and that collar is so tight on your throat, and it locks. And then you haven't even put the waist plate on. Then you got to squeeze that thing in around your ribs and try to... It's uncomfortable. So if you see a Marine dancing or something, man, he's figured out how to manipulate that uniform, because bad things can happen. But that's what they want, okay? They want everything to look good instead of being good. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Oh, we go to church every Sunday. We're there, front row. Well, you know what? You walk out and deny God by the very lifestyle you live. You walk out and you don't forgive your neighbor. You don't forgive the people that have harmed you. You cussed out people going out the parking lot. What's going on? You deny God's power by the lifestyle you live. Well, I just went up there and I don't care if you are somebody that speaks your mind. Sometimes you need to keep your lips shut. James talked about that. If you got a tongue that's uncontrollable, until you get it controlled, your religion is pointless. Even a horse needs a bridle. How many of you remember the very first movie I ever got to watch in a theater by myself, I mean with my class, people my age, was The Black Stallion. Raintree Cinema. I remember going down there in the fourth grade. We had had a big flea market type deal sale to pay for the tickets. And we got to go down there and had enough money for a popcorn and a candy and the movie ticket. And I remember watching The Black Stallion. If you remember watching, if you haven't seen it, it's a good movie. But The Black Stallion, awesome racehorse. Nobody could control it except this little boy who learned what the horse liked. Now, fast forward through the shipwreck and the death of his father and all this stuff, and now he's racing the horse. They're trying to put a bridle in this horse's mouth. They're trying to do this. They're trying to do that. Trying to put a saddle. And the only way this horse really liked to run was bareback, the little boy holding onto his mane and let him run. But they had to learn, the horse had to learn to control his speed. And that's when they really got the most out of him. We need that. We just want to run out, man, head full of steam. We're going. Nothing's going to stop us. Except for the fact that, okay, here's the start line. Finish line down there. We went out full bore, and we ran out of gas about right here. Do you know, most of you know who Usain Bolt is? World's fastest man. which got beat by an American a couple weeks ago. But do you know what made him such a formidable sprinter? Most sprinters come out of the block as fast as they can. They are on top right now. What made Usain Bolt different was he didn't. He came out, they said, at about half his capability. And at about the 50-meter mark, he increased it. When everybody else is starting to slow down, he's speeding up. That's what made him the world's fastest man. That's why he couldn't be beaten until somebody figured out how to run his race. All it took was a little bit of different training. We've got to be careful that we do not live a life that looks like it's godly. Man, I haven't even gotten to the other three scriptures. But we've got to make sure, folks, that the life we're living outside reflects God. Now, I've told you all of this. I'm trying to think, do I want to go to the... Real quick, I will, because it's connected. But Paul also said, and from such people, turn away. Doesn't mean to shun them like the Amish. If you don't know anything about the Amish, when they shun a family member, they don't ever speak to them, even though they may see them every day. If they shun you, they're not allowed to speak to you. That is stupid. Just because they wanted free from religion. Because if you join their church and then you leave, you are shunned. But if you leave before you join the church, they can associate with you. That is how ridiculous religion is. He didn't say, you see him, turn your back to him. That's what shunning really is turning your back. He said, just don't keep them as close personal friends. Because people who are like that are toxic. Any of these people, they are toxic people. That doesn't mean you judge them and say, well, you know, listen, you got to remember, God's got mercy. Thank God for his mercy. There's not a one of us who could stand to be in here today, starting right here. Okay? Now, I want to jump over to chapter 4 real quick. Go to verse 1. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, and with all long-suffering and teaching. We'll talk more about that maybe next week. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. He's now talking about the church. They will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. That last verse I read in there, I want you to understand that the last part of it was a specific direction to Timothy. And ultimately, our entire life should be evangelism. Not that we set out, I'm going to preach to 10 people today. Lord, bring the people that I need to talk to today. You know, yesterday morning, I wasn't having a good morning. My day just went, and I said, you know what? I'm leaving. I loaded up my truck and somewhere along the line got stupid and bought a piano, and I had to bring it home. Even after swearing up and down I'll never buy another piano, I had to load that stupid thing and carry it. Thank God I had Jesse there still. But I'm coming back, I'm like, you know what? I'm hungry. And she's always on me. She's like, you got money, right? Stop and get something to eat. I'm going to stop and get something to eat. I ain't ready to go home yet. I ain't wound down yet. Used to have my motorcycle. Now I don't do that. Hand falls asleep. Not a good thing. I parked my truck, walked over to the restaurant, and I went in. And sitting there on the corner was an old Marine. I sat down. He was on his way out. He'd already paid, gave the girl his tip and everything. And I sat down there, and we started talking. I ordered my food. They brought my food. I ate my food. He talked. He talked. He talked. He talked. He talked. He talked. First thing I learned, not the first thing, but I learned, he'll be 80 this year. I said, I didn't suspect you were that old. I knew you were older, but you're older than I thought. But when we finally came to the realization we needed to leave, it was after one. It was just before I came, drove by your place. And we stood up and he looked and he said, I haven't talked to anybody that long. I can't tell you how long. He said, I've probably never talked to anybody that long. Especially if they weren't a pretty woman. And I said, well, I can assure you that I am not. Yeah, I am 100% male. There's no questions in my mind. But you know what? God showed me. You know, even though I was having a bad day, it made somebody else's day to tell, to talk. When somebody talks that much who normally doesn't, it means they're lonely. And he now knows that I'm a pastor because he started to say, he said, are you religious? And I said, well, actually, I'm a pastor. He said, oh, well, then I'll keep this clean. I said, I appreciate that. I said, however, you would not have offended me. Remember, I am a Marine as well. I've heard every word you were wanting to say. But God showed me that the work of an evangelist is all the time. So far, I haven't shared with him a whole lot about God's love yet. But guess what I've got now? I got a great big old wide open gate that because of something that I did over almost 30 years ago, and something he did a lot longer than that, I now have a gateway into his life. You have something somewhere. You have to be willing and obedient. And all it cost me was a BLT, sweet tea, and hash browns. Well, yeah, the frustration was something I needed to work through and got through, and it's like, well, just keep moving. Don't let frustration stop you either. You got things you got to do, do them. I'm going to stop there because I do want to go a little further in on that and some things. But here's what I want you to understand. What Jesus or what Paul was talking about right there, some of the stuff we're experiencing, we're going to go more into it because I can promise you after the news I heard today, it's not over. Apparently North Korea is threatening us again. Is that a surprise to anybody? Understand this. Jesus foresaw it. Paul foresaw it. They told us what was going to happen. Let's not be surprised that it's happening. Let's remember to pray for our leaders. Whether we like them or not, we have to pray for them. Okay? Don't go around worrying, oh, what are we going to do if North Korea launches a nuke? We're going to shoot it down. What do you think's going to happen? The man doesn't walk outside and blow his nose that we don't know it. And he knows that. He's the little man pointing a gun at the guy who's standing there holding a cannon. Let's just be realistic. He doesn't want a war any more than we want. China doesn't want a war any more than we want. Because most of them have figured out they can't beat us militarily. They're going to come at us a different way. First off, we're imploding right now because we believe fake news. How many of you have heard that the monument that was torn down, do you hear anything more about that? Two things. First off, the monument had nothing to do with the battles. It was a dedication to the children who were forced into the military. Second off, the woman who pulled it down and a couple of her compadres are comrades. Those of you from the Cold War era know exactly what I mean. They're part of the Communist Party. Not the Democratic Party. Not real Americans. Communists. We welcome them in. They can tell us what to do. Nah. You can stop recording.